Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we got some news stories. We got more Fitzdog. We got lots of topics coming up and all funny because Fitzdog is not only funny, but he inspires me. So that's all coming.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, thanks, man. I had a shitty day, and I was in the process of texting my girlfriend a kind of whiny text about my shitty day. But I was listening to your podcast while I was doing this. It was a podcast from December 17th, and you were talking about how much you hate guys that are pussies. And I realized that I was being a pussy, and I deleted the text, and I'm going for a walk. Thanks, Ace Man.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Thanks. I was able to make an impact and change a life. Fitzdog is hanging with us. Fitzdog, you're going out. You're playing shows. How's that working? How you feeling about that?
Well, I did. I've only done a couple. In the fall, I did Cleveland and Tampa, and I got these two weeks coming up. I canceled some a little later because I feel like things are really blowing up, and I've got my wife and two kids are frontline workers. My daughter works in a preschool, and my wife works in a doctor's office, and my son works in a doctor's office. So if it was just me, I'd keep doing it because it doesn't feel that bad out there. But I kind of conceded that it wasn't good for the family. So I'm canceling some dates in like February and March. But it's, you know, it's not too bad.
Have you, what's your experience of the clubs, your limited experience of the clubs and how they're operating?
It depends on the state. Like when I was in Cleveland, they sprayed everything down between shows. They have this ventilation. They have this ventilation system at Hilarity's that they put in because of smokers that sucks all the air out of the room like every 30 seconds. And it's got a balcony, so the ceilings are that much higher. And I could walk to the club from the hotel. So that felt super safe. And then you go to Tampa, Florida, and it's like I would walk to the stage with a mask on just because I had kind of a bit that I was doing with the mask when I walk on. By the time I got to the mic, half the crowd is screaming, "Take the fucking mask off." and nobody would wear a mask the entire time. And it felt like, yeah, I need to quarantine when I get home. So I would come home for like 5 days and I'd stay in the back. And, what do you do when you go on the road? Do you quarantine at all when you get home?
No, I have no protocols whatsoever. I have zero. I have zero protocol. Sad.
Just whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. If you go to, there's different. If you go to, I guess I was playing. Where the hell was I playing in Florida?
At West Palm Beach.
West Palm Beach. Hey, you go to a club in Florida, and it's literally like there is no COVID-19. There is no pandemic. Like you couldn't tell if you looked out into the audience. You couldn't tell by how people were acting. You couldn't tell by, you wouldn't see any masks. Like people were pretty well huddled together. It's funny. Most of these clubs are like, we're going to do half capacity because of the protocols. And you go, okay, so the club holds 400 people, but they're going to cut it off at 200 people. But the 200 people are all huddled up to the edge of the stage. So the 200 people are where 200 people would be in the 400-seat club. And then there's 200 empty seats behind them all the way to the back of the club, which I would argue is like if you said, well, this American Airlines flight is only going to be half full because of safety protocols, but they just put everyone in the front of the plane, it kind of defeats the purpose of the distancing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the best is the MC is telling me like, man, I've been a road dog. I don't give a shit. I'm doing one-nighters in Alabama, next night in Louisiana. And he gets up there and he's one of these guys that's screaming and spitting on the mic. And then you get up there and you're like, I don't care about the crowd. This mic is fucking glowing right now.
I think they've switched the mics at a few clubs or had like second mic or something like that. Then there's always that move where the opener's walking off the stage as you're walking on the stage and you have to figure out some sort of greeting for him, like an elbow bump or a good job or some version of that, because you can't just pass him. That would be
head tilt.
That would be rude. So
yeah, and then I'm not selling merch, which, you know, that's always free money. You know, you selling that merch is fucking sweet. It's cash in your pocket.
Yeah.
Uncle Sam doesn't listen to this podcast, does he? Because he doesn't taste that money.
No, the merch part, the best part of the merch part is really just having cash. It's not really like, well, I'm going to pay my mortgage selling, you know, books and DVDs or whatever. That it's just literally, if you go out, like we used to go out every other week. And every other week, you just bring a big merch bag full of books and shit. And every week, you just come home, or every other week, with $165 worth of just 10s and 20s and 5s. And you just start kind of putting them in a drawer. You never have to go to the ATM ever again. Yeah. There's always cash. The problem is it doesn't. The cash stops meaning anything because you just keep coming home with this bundle of cash. And then my daughter would be like, hey, can I go to the cash drawer? Me and my friend want to go to Chick-fil-A. And I'd go, all right. And they'd go, how much you need? And she'd be like, I don't know, $400. And I'd go, okay, but bring change.
Yeah. No, and it's also, I miss seeing people after the shows, because it's like, you know, you're in your house and you have zero status. Nobody gives a shit about you. My kids don't think I'm funny. And then you go and you stand outside and these people come out and they're like, I've listened to every one of your podcasts. That show was amazing. Can I give you a hug? And like, that shit carries you through. That feels good. And I kind of miss that.
I wonder, here's an interesting experiment. I never thought about it, but I think you tell me. Because, yeah, I get the same status at home. And it doesn't matter how many documentaries or how many are on Netflix or how many best-selling books or how many, you know, sold-out theaters or whatever. It's still one big fat zero burger when I get home. It's nothing to do. There's you know, a little – I'm not even a D-list celebrity in my house. I'm lower than like, I don't know if Hasselhoff has a brother who's in the business. I would be a couple of rungs below him. I wonder if this is a true statement. Do you think that the people that are performers / celebrities, you know, go out, do shows, sell merch, you know, do your podcast, write a book, come out with a doc, you know, things like that. Do you think that there's a little less celebrity treatment for that guy versus a guy who works at the Budweiser plant in Van Nuys? Because I think, first off, nothing's lower than what I get. So yeah. I would always tie the Budweiser guy. But I think the Budweiser guy gets a little buildup because he has that job that's not very glamorous and not very interesting and not whatever. And I've had it slip. Like, my mean grandma would say things, you know, toward the end, once I was a celebrity, she'd like say stuff. And then every once in a while she'd go, I don't need to be building you up like everyone around. You know what I mean? Like, you need to be. Yes. Yeah. It's always the job of grandma to tamp you down. Sure. I love it. Yeah. All good. Yeah, all good Tatas out there, Tata Maries or Nanas. Make sure that your grandchildren aren't soaring too high with self-esteem. Yeah. You always tamp
them
down.
Tethered. That's your job as a grandmother.
Couple of notches. Yeah, she would always go like, I'm not one of these people. But by the way, I've known you for 37 years, bitch. I understand that's your MO.
No need to establish.
No need to establish.
Now, you'd be getting your Golden Globe and shit, giving a speech, thanking her, and she'd be like, sit down.
Right.
Smith, who are you?
So do you guys think that the average sort of, I'm not talking about George Clooney, but I'm just talking about your sort of workaday comic sleb, you know, the guys and gals who do that, who head out versus the guy who just works at the Budweiser factory in Van Nuys. I feel like there's a little, I feel like the home life trying to boost that guy up a little bit. I don't know. Yeah. Fitz dog take.
Oh, you're saying who gets treated better at home?
Yes. Yes.
Oh God. Yeah. The guy, because you feel guilty. I mean, the fact that you make the money you make, I can't imagine you feel like you deserve it. Like nobody does. It's not proportionate. I know you work really hard, but it's also kind of a fluke. And yeah. I feel the same way about me. And I make a lot less money than you. And I feel guilty about it.
But,
and so, yeah. So you take it. You take that beating at home. And, whereas the Budweiser guy, he was in a forklift sweating his ass off in the sun for working a double. And mm-hmm. You get him shit when you get home, he's not having it.
Yeah. So you never, no comic has ever come off the road and had his wife say, wow, 55 minutes straight of doing jizz jokes at hilarities. Someone needs a shoulder rub.
Kick those shoes off, big man.
Exactly. And she's just assuming that I cheated on her on the road. So I got to deal with that. Even though I didn't, I got to take the fucking hit for it.
So you come home and you would quarantine.
Yeah, I'd stay in the back for 5 days until I could get a test.
How does that work? Like what are kind of the rules? I mean, you got to wander into the main house at some point, right?
Yeah, no, it wasn't super strict. I'd come in and take a shower and get dressed. And, you know, if nobody was home, I'd stay in the house. But then when people were like, we'd have dinner in the backyard and I would sleep in we have like a guest house in the back. So it's got like a full bedroom and a TV. I didn't suffer, but I just feel like, you know, if my wife were to get sick, that would really bum her out. That would be bad. And my daughter, especially, she loves working at a daycare. And so I got to watch out for them.
But, well, your wife would be especially pissed because you obviously caught COVID from the whore you were banging.
I was going to say, you got to take the hit from not having affairs on the road. It's like bringing herpes home.
I don't mind the fucking dick lice you got, but that cough.
Well, but couldn't one argue that them working in the medical field isn't it possible that they need to quarantine? Like if they're going into a hospital setting or an office, a doctor's office or something like that, like isn't that a place where this stuff is spread? Are they heading like into your son and your wife? Are they like going into a hospital or where are they
doctor's
going?
Doctor's office.
But doctor's office.
It's pretty small practice. And there's not 200 people coughing laughter in their direction with no masks on for an hour and a half.
Also, even if you were wedded to wearing a mask, it wouldn't last in a comedy club because it is just, first off, it is nothing but food and drink, food and drink. And the food is not leave your mask on kind of food. And what I'm saying is it's like loaded nachos. Yeah. Loaded nachos takes an hour to eat one chip at a time. There is no, you know, you get a small steak, you finish it off in 15 minutes, you could pull the mask back up. But the nachos or the hot wings or the potato skins, it's just a never ending grazing. It's a never nonstop grazing. Max Zapata pulled up some pictures, old zoo pictures of the old Los Angeles Zoo that he has archived were archived somewhere.
That is a chain link ass zoo.
Yep. It's back when animals were animals. Certainly weren't your best friend.
That's going to hold back an elephant?
Poor Gita. Gita, baby elephant. Peanuts, candy, etc. make her sick. Do not feed. It looks like her environment's making her sick.
Yeah, that looks like Corolla's front yard.
That's right. More grass in Gita's pen than my NoHo house in 1975.
That's like a minimum security prison.
That fencing can't be up to code for a fucking 2,000-pound elephant.
Yeah. The picture we're looking at right now looks like the super sad, creepy version of the Animal Crackers train.
Mm.
It's just boxes of bars and boxes and bars.
Yeah.
You know what's weird now? When we now this is how we used to treat animals. We put them in a cage, essentially. We're looking at cages. But we've evolved. And what we do now, if you go to a modern day zoo or anything in San Diego or Los Angeles, any zoo that was built in the last 40 years, we do their natural habitat. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So we go, these animals deserve, and we have to keep them in their area, but they need their natural habitat. Otherwise, it's cruel. But we don't do that with human beings. When we lock up human beings, we put them in a cage. We do not try to simulate their natural habitat.
No,
it's a lot of razor wire and white dudes with shotguns, and we literally put bars on them. Like, we have evolved with animals much more so than we've evolved with human beings. If you go down to look at an old-timey prison, or you go to one of these ones like, I don't know, Rikers or someplace, Joliet or somewhere, place that's been around for 100 years, or you go to you go to the Rock in the San Francisco Bay, Alcatraz. Take a tour of that shit. Looks about the same as the one that's in Lompoc that was built in 1987. You know,
we
have evolved. If you took a look at where we kept an animal in 1925, and then took a look at a modern day zoo, like a giraffe or a polar bear or whatever, you'd go, oh, that's a completely different environment. But if you took...
I was just at the zoo in Palm Springs, the Living Desert, and it's all African and North American animals that would live in a desert climate. They got room to roam. You know, they're big sunken ravines going through the, you know, they're still trying to replicate the environment.
Although I think that if you want to recoup some of this prison money we spend, why not make it like a zoo where you can show up, you can get right outside the cage, because all we have on MSNBC are prison lockup. We love prison lockup shows. We're fascinated by that behavior.
Yes.
And they'd love it. You know, they get to yell at you. They get to yell all that fun, scared straight stuff, you know, like,
poop.
I'm going to toss your salad, bitch. Yeah.
Right.
You know, which is
get
fun
that drop,
for you.
Kalen.
Yeah.
Kalen, get that drop.
Yeah. Give me your fucking shoes. They keep yelling. Some guy pull out his glass eyeball and throw it at you. It's all the good, all the good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. You'd wear goggles for the jizz.
That's right.
That's right. Is Scared Straight still on? Because that was like the greatest thing ever.
There's a new Scared Straight.
Yeah.
Oh, there is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As someone who's never, ever missed an episode of Scared Straight or Lock Up Abroad or any of those shows, they don't have the traditional format anymore. Is that your understanding, Greg?
I've seen clips of it on TikTok, but it's like, it's actually more hardcore. The guards are in on it now, too. The guards they get in the kids' faces and they actually put their hands on them, which I didn't think they could do. But there's always that one kid who's a super badass. He's like 11, and you can tell, this guy is, keep him inside, because he's not afraid of this 250-pound guy.
It's not as fun when they do the COs, like, okay, run to that wall. Okay, run to that wall. Yeah, no. Go put him in with the Gen Pop. Those are the good episodes.
Yeah, right.
Do they have a white collar version where, like, you're 9, but you got caught embezzling money from like your school cafeteria, and Martha Stewart's in there screaming at you?
Yeah,
No pain.
I would watch that.
Give me the news with Grad, news with Gino Grad, breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, remember we talked a while back about how P.T. Barnum, a.k.a. Elon Musk, was saying, I'm selling all my possessions. I will no longer have a home. Well, he's making good on it, at least in California. He has now sold off all seven of his homes in California. One of them was the Gene Wilder house that I think was purchased by Gene Wilder's nephew.
Yeah.
And he said, like, you can't destroy it. You can't tear it down. But the rest of the houses are just sold. One was in Bel Air cul-de-sac. The last three sold for a combined about $41 million. Now Musk, who is now the second richest person in the world, has taken up residence in Texas. Unclear if his girlfriend Grimes, who he had the baby with, X-A-E-A-X-I-I. Did we ever figure out how to say that baby's name?
No.
You did, yeah. I forgot.
Yeah,
Shashi or something.
Maybe. Let's go with Shashi. Has also, we don't know if they've made the move with him, but Tesla and SpaceX now have operations in Texas. A new Tesla factory outside Austin is scheduled to open this year. SpaceX has a launch site in Cameron County. Wall Street Journal reported that Musk also filed paperwork in late October to move his personal foundation from California to Austin. So he's out.
There was, I think, Garrigus and Mike August sent me a article over the break. I think it was a city councilwoman.
Yeah.
Loretta Sanchez was her name?
No, that's the Taco Bell chef. Lorena Gonzalez.
Lorena Gonzalez. Oh, that was executive chef Loretta Sanchez for Taco Bell. Did you guys know that Taco Bell had an executive chef?
Oh, this is breaking.
That had to be rough for the. There used to be a commercial like executive chef Loretta Gonzalez for Taco Bell. That had to be a weird thing when. She was at like a cocktail party and someone's going, "You're an executive chef?" And it's like, where are you at? The Four Seasons or where are you at? Spago? Taco Bell.
Say it again. What?
Huh?
Nope.
I said executive chef.
Oh.
I heard that part. Yeah. That's very impressive.
And where now?
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter.
Where can I sample your wares? I'd love to come and check out what you have to offer.
Yeah, is it hard to get a reservation?
That's right.
Do you have a car?
Yeah.
Well, then you can eat at my restaurant.
Oh, cool.
I get it. It's one of those pop-up restaurants, so you'll give us the address.
You got to follow you.
It's like a speakeasy, right?
Yeah, you ask where, but if I said I was a general in the Army, do you really need to know what Army? Do you know what I mean?
You said the Army.
Yeah.
The wait staff, are they, is it formal? Is it tuxedo or what do they wear?
California casual.
Flip-flops and a polyester gi.
I love those ironic restaurants. Yeah. Those are really fun.
They're brown, so the taco sauce doesn't show up.
Dining in the dark?
I'm working on a dessert right now.
Oh.
I call it broken taco shells with cinnamon.
Deconstructed?
Yeah, I haven't really worked it out. I mean, it's still kind of, don't say anything.
No, never. Is this table side? Like you light it on fire with like a full-on foam?
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. The tables are welded to the ground and could hold over 700 pounds because we do have a lot of
fights. Well, we're earthquake country. I totally understand.
Yeah, that makes sense. A retrofitting.
Yeah. We have a full service bar, which is you fully service your own drink.
Concept restaurant.
We do close at 4 a.m.
It's a late night
after hours. Speakeasy.
It is a speakeasy. I knew it.
I'm also experiencing.
It opens at midnight.
I'm also experimenting with another concept, pretty avant-garde, called the fifth meal. We've gone up to four. I don't know if you guys know that.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. We do a brunch. Which is anyone who wants to come in at 11 and order whatever's on the fucking menu.
You know, this is starting to sound a lot like a fast food restaurant.
Well, we don't serve fast food. We serve fresh food fast. That's been pre-made.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other chefs, where do you train them?
Oh, yeah.
Cordon
Bleu?
Mostly in the parking lot. It doesn't take, we can have you up and running and before lunch. You know what I mean? If you want to, you want to put in an application?
An application?
Well, yeah. I mean, is it tough? Is it, I mean, it must be a a waiting list to get a job there.
Yeah, you most people have GEDs, so there is a what we call scrutineering. You know what I mean? And I'll personally interview just about all our potential chefs, you know, being the executive chef and whatnot.
Wait a second. This is one of those really fancy restaurants that does like a 501c3 where you find at-risk youth and then you intern and then they go off to...
They don't need a formal education.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really amazing.
Oh, yeah, the
like the homeboy. Bakery. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like that.
I'm also... Again, we're at a cocktail party. I know some of you are drinking, but mum's the word. I don't want you to start flapping your gums in front of this crowd. But think about bringing back the Bell Beefer.
Like an upscale take on a Bell Beefer?
It's like a sloppy Joe without the slop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know?
Wow.
Yeah. You guys need any taco sauce? I got packets in my pockets.
Loretta.
Is that Del Scorcho?
Huh? Taco Bell?
First off, First off, there's a guy at this party who asked me if I was an executive chef at Noggles. I fucking just turned around and walked away.
Don't be ridiculous. He's an executive chef.
Sorry.
I yelled good day to that guy.
Yeah, Martin.
No, first things first. Just because I'm an executive chef at a place that has a drive-thru and that has a bathroom that you need to use a key for does not mean I'm not every bit the executive chef that many of these other highfalutin guys with their fake French accents are. All right?
Right.
Well, no one claimed that. Yeah.
I'll have you know that I was the grandfather of the gordita. That although people had experimented with a tostada before me, they never perfected it.
Now, it's actually pretty amazing because you have created over 400 dishes in the last 20 years using the same three ingredients.
Right.
And did I also tell you that I was working on a dessert that's made of broken tostada shells and cinnamon?
You did mention that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's the taco shells.
Those are different?
One's flat.
Well, forgive my ignorance. I'm not an executive chef.
You guys, you want a coupon?
Coupon?
Yeah.
Why not? That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. You can always use one.
Yeah. Hey.
Please just tell me you work with ingredients that are seasonal. So,
hey,
you know heirloom tomatoes.
You know that talking chihuahua?
Yeah.
That was my idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. The executive chef and the CMO?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I gotta kind of wrap it up here because I have to finish reloading the spring-loaded napkin dispensers.
Yeah, well, you know, you're married to the job. You got to do it.
I mean, you got to work hard because I know that real estate for restaurants, for a good restaurant, is expensive. Are there other high-end restaurants near you?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got a Pioneer Chicken. We got a Popeyes.
Uh-huh.
We got aforementioned Noggles, which I've never set foot in.
We
got a Shakey's. We got a King Taco. We may even have a Henry's Taco. All the high-end stuff, all the other executive chefs. You know, we all get together in the parking lot of 7-Eleven after our shift and just kind of trade war stories. You know what I mean? Yeah,
sure.
Like, hey, I tried to take the liquid cheese out of the bag and the pump fucking broke. And everyone's like,
yeah.
Oh, man,
we've
been
all
there.
Been
there, done that when the cheese pump breaks. And had some rowdy customer that wanted the extra zesty taco sauce, and all we had was the hot and the mild, and that was a whole debacle. Don't get me started.
No right. Diablo sauce?
No Diablo sauce.
Waking customers. That's a lot of it.
Yeah, mousting around, them.
Go around waking customers. All right, yes, Lorena Garcia is the executive chef over at Taco Bell. Lorena Gonzalez is the, what's her title?
She's an assemblywoman out of San Diego.
You're right. So I'll just read you the top of this article, but she's a genius.
Yes. So there, the article is the Sacramento Business Journal, or it's from the Sacramento Business Journal, and they're talking about Elon Musk and the Alameda County authorities going back and forth over whether Tesla could open in Fremont or reopen in Fremont. And this dialogue was punctuated by a pithy tweet from Assemblywoman Lorena Gonzalez.
Pithy, excuse me,
who described herself as a progressive Democrat. She tweeted, "Fuck Elon Musk," but with the asterisk as the U, and Elon responded, "Message received."
No, Lorena!
And at that time, we had no idea how much that tweet and attitude would cost us. 9 months later, Elon's gone. He is selling all his personal real estate in the state, and he is now resident of Texas and has moved his philanthropic foundation to Texas, too.
Well, all the nutty bitch Lorena Gonzalez has to do is fill like a $10 billion a year hole, and we'll be back to even.
Yeah.
This is such a fucking this is what I hate about this state. It's like somehow this crazy bitch thinks that she's got more juice than Elon Musk and tells the fucking one of the biggest contributors to the state to fuck off. And he goes, okay. And then he goes to Texas.
Well, in as much as like, you know, politicians, they work for us. That's always the thing, right? You work for us. We elected you, work for us, blah, blah. Like that's like losing a client, or not just a client, the client, the number one client at like your advertising firm or your law firm or whatever.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, there should be repercussions.
Could you imagine a casino doing that to some Japanese whale who took a private jet in? Like, they'd fucking roll out the red carpet, but there it's like, you want to reopen your business? Fuck off. Okay.
Literally.
Well, he fucked right off to Texas, and he's there. It reads later in the article. He's working with the governor of Texas to get more people to move to Texas, to get more businesses. So thanks, Lorena. I appreciate it, sweetheart.
The governor's on the phone with Musk once a week, strategizing about how to get other California companies to relocate.
All right. We have the highest taxes and we're last in like business climate. Like we hate businesses in California. So could we fucking change the attitude and the climate just a little bit and see if we could get some of these folks to come back or set up shop here? I don't know. There's some kind of weird pride that we have. Like, hey, man, we don't fucking kneel before anybody, but they're all leaving. So that's not going to be good for California. There's a kind of an arrogance to it that it's confusing to me. Yes, and it's the ranking for business friendliness is the lowest. So we have the highest taxes and the lowest business friendliness ranking. So where are you going to go? Where are you going to go to set up your business, or where are you going to move your business to? Well, it ain't going to be California. But somebody should kind of rethink our process a little bit. I don't know. Maybe we need someone who's into business a little bit making some decisions versus just into ordering fucking people around. That might help things. But all right. Disney, fuck off. Elon, fuck off. I think Hewlett-Packard and Toyota and Nissan and everyone just fuck off. Get the fuck out of here. Okay. All right.
Can do.
Can do. The people seem to like Texas. All right. What else we got, Gina Grad?
Well, at least we're keeping our late night hosts for now, but they are back home. James Corden, Jimmy Kimmel, they are both doing the shows back at home now. The Actors Union, SAG-AFTRA, and other Hollywood producers have called for productions to be suspended indefinitely until more hospital beds can open up and treat the influx of patients that we're dealing with here in Los Angeles. James was the first to announce that he was taking a show back to his garage after returning to the studio in September. Kimmel also shared a photo of himself on Twitter announcing that he's back to recording from home as well. Have you talked to him at all about that?
Yes. He sent me, Jimmy sent me for Christmas about 80 pounds of macadamia nuts. Because I had this bizarre office situation where I shared an office with him and Danny Two Sheets Kellison for many years. And the two guys I shared an office with loved Scrabble and hated nuts. Not were allergic to nuts, just didn't like nuts. And I love nuts and I hate Scrabble.
Not a big Scrabble enthusiast?
Not a big Scrabble kid. So I was just sitting there, and I would yell at him. I'd go, but you like macadamia nuts, right? That's the fucking like, best, man. Right? And they'd go, I don't know, not so much. And I'd be like, who doesn't like macadamia nuts? Like the greatest thing. The greatest thing ever is that little can of the super greasy, salty ones. That,
oh, you know, yeah. Someone, yeah.
Somebody would come home from Hawaii and go, I bought you $4 worth of fucking nuts. They never liked it. So anyway, I picked up this box around the holidays that was dropped off at my front door, and the thing weighed 80 pounds. I was like, what the fuck is in this box? And I opened it up, and it was like 10 jumbo sacks of macadamia nuts from Costco that Jimmy sent over. Good. So now I have to eat my way through these fucking nuts.
Where are you going to store those?
I got them. I got them socked away. Also, I was watching Entertainment Tonight or Extra or whatever it was.
You were cheating on TMZ?
No. It comes on after TMZ, Brian.
Okay, ugh,
Jesus Christ. Check your guide, dude.
Sorry, bud.
And your privilege. James Corden was explaining that this year is the year he's going to drop the weight. This is going to be the year. And, you know, maybe James Corden is the male Adele. Like, maybe he's going to be really beautiful. Like, maybe it's just the weight. You know what I mean? Like, no one ever says to Danny DeVito, if you would just drop 30 pounds, you'd be so hot.
No.
You know what I mean? But
no, you can envision James Corden as like a really handsome, like chiseled face minus, you know, 60 pounds or whatever it is.
Yeah, his face doesn't match his body. He's got the face of a cute 185-pound British guy.
He's got the accent. He's got the full head of hair.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. He's tall enough. He's got the right features and bones and everything. It's just the weight.
He could be David Beckham minus 70 pounds.
I mean it. If he got like really ripped and really fit and whatever, he'd just be a hot, hunky dude. But let me ask this to Fitzdog. Should his wife be rooting for him?
Oh,
interesting.
Let's really, interesting. I'm going to tease that. I'm going to tease it because really drill down on that. You know, he's rich. He can sing. He's got the most attractive quality for women, which is, oh, you're not gay? That's the most attractive quality because that means all the good stuff of the gay minus the cocksucking, right? It's all the fucking singing and the musicals and the well-read and the well-coiffed and I got everything minus the cornhole.
Is that a gay thing?
Oh, yes.
Reading? I didn't know reading was a gay
thing. Come on.
Yes. They sit around and read all day.
They cross their legs like this, and they read.
What kind of things are they reading, Adam?
Well, obviously Moby Dick, because it just sounds like a huge cock novel. They read. They're readers. They're not fucking out fucking felling trees or sawing logs or changing the oil and their transmission oil and their El Camino.
Refinishing their deck with used motor oil.
Yeah, they're fucking indoors reading.
Yeah, reading.
They're well-read. They're polite. They have all the things that women want, minus not wanting their pussy. But you then add that in, and now you have the perfect gentleman.
Yeah.
So the perfect man. So I don't know how long they've been married, Maxipata, but you do kind of wonder that if he dropped 40, 50 pounds and really start getting a lot of compliments. Right, a lot
He's
of compliments, a lot of celebs, a lot of hot celebs coming on, passing along compliments. You know what I mean?
How did Kimmel's wife feel about it?
They're divorced.
They're divorced. That's
I didn't know that. Really?
No, actually.
Get out of here.
Kimmel,
well, his first wife.
Yeah, but when did he lose his weight during the first wife or the second wife?
I think it was more the second than the first.
The may have
started down with the first wife, but I think he lost it. But he wasn't. First things first, Jimmy's not that good looking. He'll never been mistaken for gay. No, he is. I find him appealing visually, but he was also never like James Corden fat. He was like kind of husky dude fat. James is fat, but he could be Beckham. Like, if he really got lean and mean and did that, like, Adele thing where you just start getting really into it. Or what's her name?
Rebel Wilson?
Rebel Wilson. Right. Look at Rebel Wilson. Look at Adele. Like, you really start dropping the pounds. It'd be a good-looking person lurking in that fat suit. How long they been married? Oh, married in 2012. Yeah. 9-year itch.
Everybody knows it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let me hit Geico, and then I want everyone's take on whether the wife is really rooting for this. I got to see a picture of the wife, too. All right. Fitz dog.
Yo.
Oh, she's thin and blonde.
That actually, looking at her, changed my opinion 180 on what I was going to say.
No, I say you want to keep the collar on. You want that belly. I've seen it. He's not afraid to get in a fucking bikini brief and run around in the streets. And his body is, and no offense to James Corden, super talented. As we said, a fantastic pumpkin on him. Mm-hmm. But his body is brutal. I think you want to keep it like that.
Well, you know, you could kind of look at it. You could look at it two ways, like, well, health, there's a health matter and a self-esteem thing and all that kind of stuff. There's also like, hey, man, this guy's an earner. He's dedicated to me. Comes home every night at the same time with a sack of money, hosts a bunch of award shows. Everyone loves him the way he is. Like, it ain't broke.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So,
well, I was thinking, I was with you. I was 100% with you out of the gate. But now I feel differently because if you're not famous and you are a thin blonde who can wear anything and goes to all the fancy parties with your fancy husband, you want him. Why can't you look like George Clooney when we go to George Clooney's house? Why can't you look like Rob Lowe when we go to Rob Lowe's house? So I think she would like that Ken and Barbie vibe. I think she'd be encouraging.
Different angle. Not saying you're wrong, Gina. You're probably 100% right, but different angle. He has a type, and it's a skinny blonde. And those are much more attainable when you're... Well, Chris, put up the admittedly bad Photoshop that I found on the internet. If you're James Corden on the right, that type's a lot easier to come by.
Yeah, we got Photoshop of fit James Corden.
It's a bad Photoshop, but you got the idea.
By the way...
I think the other angle is, like, for her... is everybody always thinks, oh, you want to be with somebody who's really good looking because that kind of elevates your status. Like you were able to bag a hottie. Yeah. But I think there's another side to that, which is when you see a woman like her with a guy like that, you kind of think, take the money away, that she's noble, that she sees beyond looks and loves his soul.
Isn't there a Curb Your Enthusiasm about that? But she has character. His character.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I just I know how guys are. And by the way, I like when you posit he has a type, skinny blondes. Yes, him and all of North America and all of Africa.
That's right.
It's like, yes, everyone has a type. It is Elle McPherson when she was 19.
That's my type.
That's my type too. This is a crazy coincidence. We should start a fraternity. Yes. I don't know. I would worry. I wonder now, here's the question. Is there something nefarious going on? Like, do you think he's brought home the weight loss protein powder and she's like scooping confectioner's sugar into it every night and shaking it up, you know?
Yeah,
do you think she bought a tub of that stuff from the GNC, the big muscle weight put on packer thing that the 16-year-old kids from Iowa eat when they want to get a free ride to a college as an interior lineman or something? Do you think she's taking some of that shit and putting it in his protein?
Mass builder.
The mass builder stuff.
Like one of those mothers that gives their children cancer.
Right.
Munchausen by proxy.
And she's like, He's on the rowing machine, and she's bringing in a peanut butter banana sandwich with honey on it, going, don't you want something? And she's like, love, I'm on the rowing machine. Well, I'll
it's
just set it
shake.
I'll just set it down next to you. That's all.
The protein.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah. And you kind of touched on this without realizing it. How insufferable does that person become to live with when
they're trying
to talk? 70 pounds.
Yeah.
That's not a good quality of life inside the house.
And also, I think the first quality you're looking for in a spouse or a partner is deeply ashamed of themselves. Mm-hmm. So when you come walking into the kitchen at midnight and he's eating ice cream out of the container and you go, James. And now when it comes time to choose the next movie or what toppings you're going to have in your pizza, you win. Because he's shamed. He's knocked down a couple of notches. Right. That's whose turn is it to take the trash out? The slob that was eating the fucking Haagen-Dazs out of the fucking tub.
He doesn't even come back with a comeback. He just eyes to the ground.
Just eyes to the ground.
Yeah.
That's right.
That remote control isn't working anymore. The batteries are gone.
That's right. All right. Do we know what she does? That could help inform our decision. What if she's like a personal trainer?
Personal trainer.
Oh, boy. That'd be the best thing that ever happened to her. We're really all over the map with this thing.
I'm going
to
go with something that just has executive, like executive chef Lorena Gonzalez.
She's a former TV producer. Got her start as an actress on Wings.
An actress on Wings?
In this country?
Jesus.
Yeah.
She's a lot older than she looks.
Yeah.
Wings is an old show, but it was on for like 8 years or something.
Was she the daughter?
I'm hearkening back to a conversation that Jimmy Kimmel and I had in Manhattan at like the bottom of NBC where they have like the swag store where you could buy like and I remember Jimmy walking in and the person's behind the counter and he's like, you sell any of those Wings coffee mugs? And the person's like, yeah, they're a good seller. And Jimmy's like, really? Because the show's been off the air for 11 years. And they're like, I know. People like that show. When's the last one you sold? You sold one today? And the person behind the counter started getting defensive. Yeah. Like, we don't sell one every day, but some days we sell two.
I'm not in charge of inventory, dude.
And the person got deeply defensive about the show Wings on the coffee mug. And Jimmy was just trying to poke holes in it. What was her? She must have been in the last season of Wings. All right. Let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
She was on the last year. She was on two episodes of Wings the last year, the British version. I think they already have.
That's why I said in this country. I imagine there would be a Wings that launched 10 years later in the UK.
There was a British Wings?
Come on, Gina. Don't be naive.
Thomas Hayden Church was on Wings.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it strikes me, and of course, Woody Harrelson was on Cheers. They're both like the two most unlikely people in an ensemble cast to kind of break out and have movie careers, right?
Oh, yeah.
They were both kind of the weirder sidebar guys in their sitcoms. Bizarre that they broke off and had those kind of theatrical careers.
And playing the kind of those wide-eyed, dopey men children.
At the beginning, yeah. Woody Harrelson's a legit great actor, too.
Yeah.
I know. It's just weird that out of all that cast, he'd... And kind of same with Thomas Hayden Church. All right.
Yeah, the British version was a drama as well. It only ran two seasons. I don't think it had anything to do with the American version.
No.
This
is a show called Wings.
Yeah, Wings, about the Royal Flying Corps.
Oh. Never mind. Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Nice work, somebody. But thank God it brought me to my mug story with the great Jimmy Kimmel. All right. You can go to AdamCarolla.com and find all the live shows we're doing. Naples, Florida coming up January 15th, 16th. We'll do a Burbank Pickwick Bowl on the 23rd of January. Do a show out, drive-up show, drive-through show, parking lot show. Fitz Dog, Indianapolis Helium Comedy Club tomorrow, Friday and Saturday, and then Tempe Improv next Thursday through Sunday as well, the 14th through the 17th. Go to Fitz with a Z, FitzDog.com for tickets. And until next time, Sam Carolla for Mike Lynch and Fitz Dog and Gene and Bald say mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere. You can get the links at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.